The golden age of radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the golden age of radio, Will Wright stars in The Amazing Mr. Tut. We'll also hear music by Al Trace and his orchestra featuring the Silly Symphonist. Stay tuned for the golden age of radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, music by Al Trace and his orchestra featuring the Silly Symphonist. But right now, Will Wright stars in The Amazing Mr. Tut as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
CBS presents The Amazing Mr. Tut, based on the famous stories by Arthur Train and starring Will Wright.
Maud?
Yes, Mr. Tut?
Take a memorandum, Maud. Head it, advice to a young lawyer. You have that?
Yes, sir.
Quote, son, if you've got a good case at law, harp on the facts. If you've got a weak case, attack the law. And if you've got no case at all, lambaste the district attorney. End of quote.
Tonight, CBS brings you the first of a new series about America's most beloved lawyer, Ephraim Tut. Mr. Tut, the old gentleman attorney at law with the stovepipe hat and the stogie. So sit back now and see the elderly Yankee lawyer thwart his enemies and bring simple justice for all. Tonight, we hear Mr. Tut in Advice to a Young Lawyer.
Yes, Helen?
The district attorney to see you, Judge Babson.
Well, send him in, send him in. Don't keep the DA waiting.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, Judge Babson. How are you this very fine morning?
All right. You seem very pleased with yourself, O'Brien.
How would you like to be the next senator from this state, Judge?
Well, my wife always says I'd make a fine senator.
And so you would. And I think in the process of making you a senator, I'll just make myself governor.
Well, it is a good morning, isn't it? Tell me about it.
No need to whisper, Judge. It's quite legal, quite. It's the Halloran case.
Halloran? Halloran. Can't place it.
Best open and shut murder case I ever got my teeth into. It won't take a jury more than 15 minutes to send him to the chair.
I don't follow you. You've had convictions before.
I'm coming to that. Vance Halloran, the man we're going to send up for murder, shot a man in broad daylight. It's a front page case. Headlines all the way.
I still don't get it. You've tried cases in the papers before.
Yeah, but here's the difference. Halloran, as guilty as they come, can't afford a lawyer.
Oh.
And as a result, the judge, you, are empowered to appoint a lawyer for the defendant.
Uh-huh.
And how would it be if, in addition to sending up a murderer, we polished off the most distinguished attorney in the state?
Mr. Tut.
Mr. Tut, indeed. All you've got to do is to appoint Tut to defend Halloran.
I see.
Judge, this case will be my 31st straight conviction. And if we can get old man Tut's scalp in the process, well, you can go tell your wife to order you some senator's clothes.
I think you got something there, Governor O'Brien. Helen?
Yes, sir?
Helen, call Mr. Ephraim Tutt on the phone. I've got a special job for that fine old gentleman. Yes, sirree. A very special job indeed.
Why don't you sit down, Mr. Tutt?
Barney, my boy, you have been with me how long?
14 years.
And in those 14 years, have you not yet learned there are two things you should never do?
Yes, I know, Mr. Tutt.
First, don't smoke stogies. They don't go with your face. And don't tell me to sit down when I want to pace back and forth. I want to think.
But there's nothing to think about. I just thought I'd save wear and tear on the rugs.
You're a bright lad, Barney, and you're right. This is the rawest thing it has ever been my misfortune to encounter. I can just see those two foxes, Babson and O'Brien, selecting me to defend a man who has no defense. Let me see those papers again.
Well, there's nothing there. It's broad daylight. This fella Kelly, the dead man, is coming north, and Halloran, the defendant, is going south.
Mm.
When they're 20 yards apart, a shot is fired from where Halloran is standing. Mm. 5 witnesses see the flash. Halloran runs down an alley, and a cop catches him. The gun, still smoking, is 5 feet from Halloran.
And all Halloran can say is he didn't do it.
Well, I didn't talk to him, but that's what the papers say.
And of course they appoint me. O'Brien sees himself governor, Babson wants to be a senator, and they both want to put me in the doghouse.
There's a lady and a little boy to see you, Mr. Tutt.
Too busy now, Maud.
Well, that's what I told her, Mr. Tutt, but, well, she said she'd wait.
Huh?
Well, she said she'd wait till tomorrow if she had to.
Who is she?
Mrs. Vance Halloran.
Well, for pity's sake, send her in.
Well, yes, sir.
She's the wife of my client, waiting outside.
You were pacing, Mr. Tutt, remember? Thinking.
Oh, yes, sure was. Well, how do you do, Mrs. Halloran?
How do you do, sir?
Madam, before you say a word, my talents, my office, my good name are at your disposal.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. This is Isaac Morris, a friend of Vance's. Everybody calls me Ike.
Hello, Ike.
Hello.
My assistant, Mr. Bonnie Doone.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Now, why don't you sit down and tell us all about it, Mrs. Halloran?
Mr. Tutt, Vance is innocent. I know every wife says the same thing, but he is. She's right, Mr. Tutt. Vance couldn't even hurt a fly.
You're a good friend of Vance's, Ike?
Oh, sure. I'm the president of the Halloran Club.
What's the Halloran Club?
Club Vance organized for us fellas, the newsboys.
Yeah.
See, Vance drives a truck for the Daily Press. And he treats us square and... Well, Sundays he takes us hiking and playing ball and things like that.
Uh-huh.
So when we heard Vance was picked up, we never believed he killed Kelly, Mr. Tutt. He wouldn't do that. Well, we took up a collection. We heard lawyers cost money.
I see. Well, how much did you collect?
$7.80. And here it is.
Oh, you keep that.
No, but...
We may need it later. Now, tell me what happened, Mrs. Halloran.
Well... You see, Vance works nights driving the truck for the paper, like I told you.
Yes.
Kelly, well, Kelly drove for the Express, and they were sort of rivals.
They ever fight?
Well, once or twice, but nothing serious. Vance would never shoot him or anything, Mr. Tutt. I just know it.
Now, that's all right, that's all right. You want to cry, you just go ahead. That's what a lawyer's office is for. But can you tell me anything else? Anything I can use?
That's all I know. And if there's anything I can do, Mr. Tutt... Anything at all, there's a whole gang of us. Just call on me.
Well, I certainly will, Mr. President. I certainly will. I'm glad Vance has such a lot of good friends. Looks to me like he'll need every one of them. My name is Tutt, Halloran. Ephraim Tutt. I'm your lawyer.
Yes, sir, Mr. Tutt.
Now... Tell me exactly what happened. The truth.
I didn't shoot Kelly. I swear I didn't.
You didn't?
No, sir, I swear. It was noon. I was going to meet my wife on my lunch hour. You see, it was our wedding anniversary. We were going to buy something.
Huh?
Well, all of a sudden, I seen him coming down the street toward me. I hadn't seen him in weeks. There were people all around. Then I heard a shot fired right near my elbow. People started screaming, and I ran. Next thing, the cop had me in the alley.
Why'd you run?
I don't know. I didn't think. I just got scared and ran.
What about the gun?
Well, the cop had the gun. It was laying on the ground where the killer threw it. He asked me if it was mine, and I said no.
And was it your gun?
Well, It was and it wasn't.
Hmm?
You see, Counselor, 6 months ago we were robbed. See, it'd be in a pretty tough neighborhood. And, well, I got a permit to have the gun, and I had it, and... Well, someone stole a gun.
When?
About a month ago.
And that was the gun found in the alley?
Yes, sir.
Did your wife know you had a gun?
No, sir. You see, I didn't want to frighten her, telling her I had a gun. Well, no, sir, I didn't tell her.
And you didn't mention the loss of it later when it was stolen?
No, sir, I didn't.
Halloran, do you have any idea who shot Kelly?
No, sir.
Oh, now you must. There must be somebody. Was there anybody on the street you knew?
No.
Do you have any idea who might have stolen your gun, framed you like this? It was a frame-up, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, sir, but... No, I don't have any idea. Unless...
Yes?
Oh, that's impossible.
What's impossible?
Well, no, I'd rather not say it.
Your life seems to mean very little to you, Mr. Halloran. If you've got something, anything, tell me.
Well, See, I know this fella doesn't like me, and he hated Kelly, but he wouldn't kill him.
Who? What are you talking about?
A fella named Jensen, but... Well, no, he couldn't even have stole my gun. He was out of town at the time. No.
And that's all?
That's all. Looks kind of bad, don't it, Counselor?
If you didn't shoot Kelly Halloran, you're in the worst jam I ever heard of. Why don't you give me a few weeks in this Halloran case? Why do you have to rush to trial?
I once heard you make the boast, Mr. Tutt, that all you needed were the facts and your case was all prepared.
That's what I want the time for, to get the facts.
Well, the facts are as plain as your face and you know it.
What about this Jensen suspect? Why don't you send some men out after him?
Really, Tutt, a man with your experience...
Halloran says,
of course he says. You say anything. This Jensen wasn't even in town when the gun was stolen.
O'Brien, this is not justice. This is... Why this unholy rush?
Because the protection of society demands that all murderers be convicted as soon as possible, Mr. Tutt.
Not to mention the fact that successful DAs sometimes wind up in the governor's mansion.
You do me a grave injustice, Counselor. My interest is, as my oath says, justice for all.
O'Brien, a man's life is at stake. An innocent man. Think of what this means to the man's wife.
Don't appeal to my better nature, Tutt. I haven't any.
Well, it's always a pleasure to meet a man who appreciates his own good points. What? All right. Go ahead. Prosecute, persecute, rush into court. But there are more ways than one to fight a case, as you may learn, sir, to your surprise.
Think Halloran's innocent, Mr. Tutt?
Bonnie, I've been an attorney for 40 years. I've seen crooks and criminals, and I have seen innocent men. Vance Halloran is innocent.
Okay, he's innocent.
And that's where you come in.
Me?
I want you to go out and find me the man who killed Kelly.
What?
Find this Jensen, if he exists.
Well, suppose I can't. I certainly can't by the time the trial opens tomorrow.
That's true. Suppose you can't.
Yeah. What then?
Then, Bonnie, I shall follow my own advice. The advice I always give to young attorneys.
And what's that, Mr. Tutt?
Very simple. If you've got a good case, harp on the facts. Mm-hmm. If you've got a weak case, attack the law. And if you've got no case at all, lambaste the district attorney. Bonnie, I shall lambaste the district attorney.
There it is. People versus Halloran, Part 2, Room 11.
I see it, Bonnie. And we still haven't got anything on Kelly's murderer. Nothing on this Johnson yet.
I only had 24 hours.
I know. I'm sorry, Bonnie. I'm jumping.
Sorry.
Oh, would I love to lambaste O'Brien.
Well, go right ahead. Here we are, Part 2, Room 11, People versus Halloran.
Good morning, Edgar.
Morning to you, Mr. Tutt. That's quite a crowd you got in there.
Really?
I've been a guard here now 20 years. I can't recall a crowd like this since that axe laying.
Fine. Looks like I'm to go down to defeat before a multitude, Bonnie. Well, let's go.
Outside and stay outside, all you kids.
Ah, you got his mustache.
Hey, there's Mr. Tutt. Hi, Mr. Tutt.
Well, I. What's the matter?
They won't let us in. All the kids are here. This is a gang, Mr. Tutt, the Hollering Club.
Hiya, gang.
Hiya, Mr. Tutt.
Hello, Mr. Tutt. We came to see Vance and you lick the DA. Yeah.
He won't let us in.
Well, we'll see about that. O'Brien.
Maybe
What are you trying to do, Tut? Pack the courtroom?
Not at all. I think these young gentlemen have as much right in the court as anybody else.
Well, Judge Babson doesn't like demonstrations, neither do I, Mr. Tut, so tell your gang to peddle the papers somewhere else.
Now, just a moment, O'Brien, just a moment. Bonnie.
Yes, Mr. Tut?
Have you got those blank subpoenas?
Right here.
Make out a subpoena for each of these kids.
All right, sir.
What's the idea, Tut?
I intend to call each of them as part of my defense.
Oh, no, you don't.
Character witnesses, O'Brien. Now, do you have any objections to my witnesses being in the court?
Okay, Tut. Very cute. You win. But don't forget, this is only a preliminary. The main bout is inside.
William Daly to the stand. State your name.
William Daly.
Mr. Daly, we are impaneling a jury in the case of the People versus Halloran. Now, preparatory to your taking your place on this jury, I have one question to ask you. Do you have any moral objection to the supreme penalty as punishment for murder?
None, Your Honor.
Mr. O'Brien, you may question this potential juror.
What is your business, sir?
Haberdasher.
Do you know the defendant or any of the relatives of the deceased family?
No, sir, I do not.
Mm-hmm. The juror is acceptable.
I have seen bad juries impaneled, Bonnie, but this is the worst.
Why, Mr. Tut?
They're experienced jurors. They know all the tricks. Unless...
Unless what?
Juror number 7. Take a look at him.
What?
I've had my eye on him. Name of T. Jefferson Lee. He sounds and looks like a true lover of democracy. Thomas Jefferson Lee.
How are you going to do it?
I don't know. But all I need is one sympathetic juror.
Any questions or challenges, Mr. Tut?
No, Your Honor. None at all. The jury is quite acceptable to me. I'm sure they're all democratically minded gentlemen.
Proceed, Mr. O'Brien.
I call to the stand Mary Welsh.
Mary Welsh to the stand.
This is going to be brutal. You get out of here, Bonnie, and stay on Jensen's trail. I don't want you to sit here and watch this steamroller go over me.
See then, Miss Welsh.
Well, I saw Kelly and I saw the defendant.
You mean this man seated next to the tall, gray-haired attorney?
Yes, sir, that man.
And?
Well, I saw the gun go off and I saw Kelly fall to the pavement.
Thank you. That is all. Your witness, Mr. Tut.
No questions.
Halloran for how long, Mr. Small?
20 years.
And the dead man, Kelly?
About the same.
Then you would be in an excellent position to state the terms of their relationship.
Well, naturally. I knew them longer than I know my own mother-in-law.
What were the terms of their relationship? Would you say the defendant and the dead man were friends, that they got along?
Yeah, like cats and dogs are friends. The way chickens and foxes get along.
And in this case, Mr. Small, who was the fox?
Well, I guess Halloran was the...
Thank you. Your witness.
Your questions.
The officer who arrested Halloran?
Yes, sir, I am.
Where did you arrest him?
In the alley where he ran after he shot Kelly.
Object.
Sustained.
You mean, do you not, in the alley where he ran after the shot was fired?
It's the same thing.
Object.
Sustained. The witness is not to state that the defendant shot Kelly.
But you arrested him, did you not, 20 yards from where the crime had been committed?
Correct. No objection to that, Mr. Tut?
Please, officer.
Yes, Your Honor.
You also found a gun in the alley, officer, did you not?
Yes, sir. It was still hot from the shot fired.
And whose gun was it?
Halloran's.
Well, thank you, officer. Your witness, Mr. Tut.
No questions.
Your Honor, the people's case against Vance Halloran is complete. The people rest.
All right, Mr. Tut, you may proceed with the defense.
Just one moment, Your Honor. I see my associate coming into the courtroom. May I have a moment?
60 seconds, Mr. Tut.
Well, anything, Bonnie?
I don't know. Probably not.
Jensen?
Yeah, I think he was in town at the time Halloran's gun was stolen.
Good.
But he's vanished. Not a sign of him since.
Nothing?
All I've got is a rumor. He may be in Rochester. I've got a tracer up there after him.
Great. Sounds great.
And how are we doing here?
Equally as great. O'Brien had me tied up in knots. Look, sit down. Smile confidently. It may help.
I'll try. What are you going to do?
I don't know. Yet.
Mr. Tutt? Ready, Your Honor. Quite ready. With the new information provided by my associate, I am ready to proceed. And, Your Honor, I wish to thank you for the 60-second delay. I call Vance Halloran to the stand.
Vance Halloran! You solemnly swear the evidence you're about to give in this case will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
I do.
State your name.
Vance Halloran.
You are the defendant, Mr. Halloran?
Yes, sir.
Tell the jury in one word. Did you kill Mike Kelly?
I did not.
Did you have any motive to kill him?
No.
Where were you going when you heard this shot fired beside you?
I was meeting my wife. You see, it was our first wedding
anniversary. Your Honor, I move the last part of the answer be stricken. It is irrelevant and immaterial.
Strike it out. Now, Your Honor, is it immaterial that it was the defendant's wedding anniversary? Wouldn't a reasonable juror want to know whether the defendant would select that particular day to commit a murder?
Your Honor.
I ask in fairness that the defendant be allowed to answer my question.
I have ruled on the objection.
In that case, Your Honor, I accept and offer into evidence this marriage certificate between Vance Halloran and Nora
Object! O'Connor. Same objection, Your Honor.
Excluded.
And I again accept. I cannot quite believe that Your Honor would exclude so vital a bit of evidence.
I have ruled on the question, Mr. Tutt. I do not care to have further argument.
But I have a right to be heard.
Sit down, sir. Sit down.
I sit, sir, and rise to make another objection.
Your objection is overruled. I shall not give you an opportunity to make speeches out of order for their effect on the jury.
I object to Your Honor's...
Mr. Tutt, sit down, or the marshal will set you down.
I yield to force, Your Honor.
Bonnie?
Yes?
Did you watch number seven's face?
Yeah.
I think I saw a flicker of sympathy.
Call your next witness, Mr. Tutt.
You are Nora Halloran, wife of the defendant?
Yes, sir.
Tell us, Mrs. Halloran, the date on which you were married to the defendant.
Object!
Sustained.
Does Your Honor deny to this woman the right to show that she is legally wedded to this defendant?
It is not an issue in this case. Motion denied.
Your Honor, I have a question to ask. Is this a court of law in the United States or in Nazi Germany?
Enough of that, Mr. Tutt, unless you wish to be held in contempt of court.
I have no desire to be held in contempt, but I must protect my client no matter what course Your Honor sees fit to pursue, and I must again accept Your Honor's rule and answer Your Honor's threats.
Proceed, Mr. Tutt.
How was number seven then, Bonnie?
Smiled at you, frowned at the judge.
Fine, fine.
I have no further questions this time.
Any cross-examination, Mr. O'Brien?
It isn't necessary, Your Honor.
Object. The answer to that question is either yes or no, and the district attorney knows it, Your Honor.
Quite right. Any cross-examination, Mr. O'Brien?
No, Your Honor, none.
Go to the jury, then, and sum up, gentlemen. Mr. Tutt.
Gentlemen of the jury... The criminal code was enacted to ensure every defendant of a fair and impartial trial, a right asserted by the signers of the Declaration of Independence, written by Thomas Jefferson of Virginia, a right asserted...
I object, Your Honor. This harangue has nothing to do with the case.
Confine your remarks to the evidence, Counselor.
Does Your Honor mean to suggest that I may not comment upon constitutional guarantees under which this man and every other defendant must be legally tried?
I said to confine yourself to the evidence.
Surely I have the right to explain the rights for which our forefathers, mine, yours, the jurors, fought and died.
I will take care of all that, Mr. Tutt.
I conceive it my duty to take care of it myself.
Proceed, Counselor.
How are we doing?
Seven's very interested. So is Six and the foreman.
Good.
Gentlemen of the jury, don't forget, you are the sole judges of the evidence. While His Honor may comment on the law, even he cannot substitute himself for you in judging what is the truth and what are obvious frauds perpetrated by the district attorney.
I object!
And I insist
object.
That...
Object!
Hot! I will permit no more of this. Mr. Tutt, you've been talking generalities long enough. Now get down to business or rest your case.
If the court will not allow me to sum up my case...
You may sum up your case all you like, but sum it up within bounds.
I cannot tell what Your Honor considers proper bounds.
I said within bounds. You know very well what
I
mean.
In view of Your Honor's attitude against me, against my client, I refuse to sum up the case. Let the chips fall where they may. But one thing I will do, if Your Honor will let me talk...
Proceed. Proceed.
I ask that when Your Honor sums up and instructs this jury, that he remembers, in the language of the Declaration of Independence, that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights...
Sit down, sir! Sit down! The jury will disregard this stump speech of Mr. Tut.
I accuse this court of bias and prejudice and of railroading my client to the electric chair.
Sit down, sir, or I shall find you in contempt of court.
As Thomas Jefferson said, you may fire when ready, Gridley.
I find you in contempt of court and hereby sentence you to payment of $500.
Make it $1,000, Your Honor, the signer of the Declaration of Independence.
$1,000!
And the founding fathers would be
$1,500!
The defense rests. Now is the time, Bonnie.
No?
Yes, the jury's been out almost an hour. That means that some of what I said took effect. So now.
Okay.
Ike?
Yes, sir?
You know what to do.
Oh, yes, sir. Do we do it now?
Now, Ike. Now, with everything you've got.
This is the street, Ike. We're right under the jury room.
You still up there arguing, Mr. Bonnie?
Yep, they're still at it. Let her go.
Okay.
Gentlemen of the jury, have you reached a verdict?
No, Your Honor, we have not.
Quiet, please, quiet! You are telling this court that you have not reached a verdict?
That's right, Your Honor. We are divided and split.
Congratulations, Mr. Tut. Look at number 7, Bonnie. There's our hung jury. He's winking at me.
Yeah.
Thomas Jefferson Lee.
Mr. Tut, may I add my congratulations?
Well, Edgar, when a guard at Special Sessions Criminal Divisions congratulates you, you have really arrived. Thank you, Edgar.
Oh, no, sir, thank you. Oh, it was the greatest show I've ever seen, and I've been guarding these portals now 20 years. Oh, you had Babson spluttering, and O'Brien is fit to be tied.
I had to do it, Edgar, I had to.
And that newsie hollering that the jury found him guilty while they were still out. If I'd have been on that jury, I'd have sure found him innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wonder who put that newsy up to that, Mr. Tut.
Oh, one of those acts of God, I guess you'd say, Edgar. But I'll tell you a secret if you won't tell a soul.
I'm as silent as the Rock of Gibraltar.
Although I'm absolutely convinced Vance Halloran is innocent, I haven't got proof of it. And I don't think I'm going to sleep so well tonight. Hello?
Mr. Tut, did I wake you?
Who is this? Oh, Bonnie?
Yeah.
No, you didn't wake me. I can't sleep any... What time is it?
A little after 2.
What are you doing up this hour?
I'm in Rochester, finding you a night's sleep.
Jensen.
My tracer up here got wind of something, so right after the trial, I flew up.
And?
Just as Halloran said. Jensen hated Kelly, and knowing of the feud between Kelly and Halloran, Jensen stole Halloran's gun and shot Kelly.
He did.
Exactly as we figured. He shot Kelly in broad daylight, standing next to Halloran. In the crowd and confusion, he got away again.
Well...
Luckily for us, he wasn't content with mere murder. He tried to pull a bank job here in Rochester and got shot in the process. What I've just told you was his deathbed confession.
Bonnie, my lad, that is an evening's work.
Thanks. Can you sleep now?
Indeed, I can.
That $1,500 isn't bothering you, is it?
Oh, you mean the fine for contempt of court?
Yeah.
No... No, I assure you, the look on O'Brien's face and the astonishment in Babson's eyes when the jury came in was worth every penny of it.
Matter of fact, my dear Bonnie, I shall sleep the sleep of the very good and the very innocent, and dream of the shining countenance of a juror named T. Jefferson Lee.
You have just heard the first broadcast in the new series, The Amazing Mr. Tut, starring Will Wright in the title role, with John Beale in the role of Bonnie. Be sure to listen every week at this same time for further tales about Mr. Tut. The script was written by Arnold Pearl, with special music composed by Marlon Skiles and conducted by Lud Gluskin. The Amazing Mr. Tut was produced and directed by Tony Leader. Will Wright will soon be seen in the RKO production, The Twisted Road. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You are listening to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY, featuring Will Wright and the Amazing Mr. Tut. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s. When the Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. In a moment, Al Trace and his orchestra featuring the Silly Symphonists. But first, music by the Washingtonians featuring bandleader Duke Ellington with Hophead from 1927, as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio. Thank you.
Here comes the happiest band in the land.
Hal Trace and his silly symphony. That's right, everyone. It's the happiest band in the land. Music by Al Trace and his silly symphonist. Just in case you don't recognize that theme song, it's the one Al made famous. Mersey Dotes and Dozy Dotes. Music this morning coming to you from the plantation room of the Hotel Dixie, 43rd Street, west of Broadway in New York City. We're going to get the proceedings underway with now with American Polka. Called Oh Please Tell Me Darling. We drop the last word off each time we sing it. So, let's try it. Al Trace, Oh Please Tell Me Darling.
Going round. I wonder if you've heard the song in which you pause and then eliminate a word. It's really very clever and simple as can be. You'll learn it in a jiffy if you just follow me. Oh, please tell me, darling, do you really love me? Oh, please tell me, darling, do you really love me? Oh, please tell me, darling, do you really? Oh, please tell me, darling, do you? Oh, please tell me, darling, do. Oh, please tell me, darling. Oh, please tell me. Oh, please tell. Oh, please. Oh. Hey, that's kind of cute, boys. Let's all sing it. But remember, drop the last word, everybody. Come on.
Oh, please tell me, darling, do you? Please tell me, darling. Oh, please tell.
Please tell me, darling, do you really love me? Song where you drop a letter, drop a word every time you sing it. Well, let's get along now as Miss Tony Arden sings. Let's pretend that we're sweethearts again. Tony? Speakers, everyone, because here comes Mr. Al Trace himself. Al this time is going to sing a grand silly symphony just for all the boys and girls. Here it is, The Antelope and the Lion. Al?
Deep in the heart of a forest.
Deep in the heart of a forest.
No, boys, I said a forest. Was a tiny little stream. Where a pretty little antelope came to drink and dream. One day into this forest, a lion came a-creepin'. No, 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 I said a lion. He crept up to the stream where the antelope was sleeping. He gave a mighty leap and screamed an awful scream. He ate the little antelope.
That's the salt.
And drank up all the stream. He heard horses' hoofbeats. But he couldn't run away. He had eaten too much antelope.
Babe.
And there he had to stay. Up came Trader Horn and fired his .44.
Bing, bing.
The lion's head now hangs above his door. That's all there is.
There ain't no more.
Here is the moral for all to hear. Don't lose your head over a little deer.
Thanks a lot, Al, for that grand rendition of The Antelope and the Lion. Music by Al Trace and Company. This time, it pays to be ignorant.
I was walking down the avenue. I met a funny fellow with a funny point of view. He didn't have a brain cell working in his head, but he was very happy, and this is what he said. It pays to be ignorant, to be dumb, to be dense, to be ignorant. It pays to be ignorant just like me. It's best not to know too much. Be a dope, your IQ shouldn't show too much. Your brain shouldn't grow too much. Wait and see. I took my girl to dinner. We had a wonderful feast. They had to give my girl the check because I couldn't read. So you see, it pays to be ignorant. Have no brain, be insane, just be ignorant. It pays to be ignorant just like me.
Number played in the style and manner of Al Trace and the orchestra. Listen to this rendition of Louise. Band in the land. The music coming to you from the plantation room at the Hotel Dixie, 43rd Street west of Broadway in New York City. Vocals tonight by Tony Arthur, announcer Johnny Scott. This is Mutual. Thank you.
the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY. The Washingtonians featuring bandleader Duke Ellington with the Bugle Call Rag from 1928. We also heard music by Al Trace and his orchestra featuring the Silly Symphonists. This has been the Golden Age of Radio. Classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows. On the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at this same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.